to call the meeting to order at 3:36 on June 13th. We're going to do a roll call with those of us that are present. Susan Mitchell, Board President.
Jennifer Scott, Vice President.
Denise Westbrook.
Chris Moody.
Today, Johnny, Board Member.
Joe Shell, Board Member.
Alan Stafford, Director.
Chris Benjamin, Board Member.
Morgan Cosgrove, Board Member.
Andrea Rogers, Board Secretary.
Janet Allen, Director.
Anna Vargas, Board Member.
Heather Crown, Board Member.
Debbie Fees, Teacher Board Rep.
Brian Trout, Board Member.
Eric Anderson.
Incoming Director.
Trish Oliver.
Outgoing
Director. That's awful, sorry. I say over that.
You asked for it.
We have members of the public.
Ally Dayton.
Brian Dayton, Karen.
Thank you. Welcome to our new board members. Thank you all for agreeing to become a part of our group. And thank you to those who have served that are going to be leaving us. I miss you, and I thank you all for your contributions. The first thing I think we'd like to do is swear our new board members in. You will not be able to vote at this board meeting, and if we have any, I don't think we're going to have an executive session, at least at this point. If we do, I don't know, maybe I need to read my agenda more closely, but if we do have an executive session today, the new board members will not be part of that. So, I read this and they repeat, right?
Yeah.
I don't have an extra one, so I'm going to have them repeat, and then I'll have them sign it. Go ahead.
It probably and customarily, there's usually a standing, and if you want to stand together, okay?
Sure.
Against the wall from shortest to tallest. Then we want a side shot.
Well, I because this is a public.
Correct.
It's public, okay? And so the public would then know who you are and that kind of thing, that for transparency's sake.
All right, so Jen, you want to give you a little speech? Because I don't remember him.
Just to say that even though we are a charter school and we are our own district, being sworn in as a board member to this board carries the same level of fiduciary responsibility that if it was an elected board in any area in the state. Obviously, we trust and expect you to carry out your duties to the utmost with integrity and honor, or else you wouldn't be here, so.
Okay. So, please repeat if you're still willing after that little speech. Please repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of the State of Delaware.
And the Constitution of the State of Delaware.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of school board member. Okay, how about we try that again? And I will faithfully discharge.
The duties
of the office of school board member. According to the best of my ability. And I do further.
Solemnly swear.
That I will not directly or indirectly.
Offer or promise to pay.
Contribute. Any money or other valuable thing. As consideration or reward. For the giving or withholding. A vote on any issue. Good. All good. And now you have to read it and sign it too.
Yeah, our fridge is gone, but help yourself to water.
Okay, so every year we are all doing a conflict of interest. All board members are doing a conflict of interest. we're signing off on a conflict basis. I'm going to take one and pass them around for board members. And we do please need these back at the end of the meeting. Also, a few weeks ago, I sent out a board evaluation form for board members to fill out. And I forgot to send a reminder email to please bring it, so I brought extra paper copies with me. And what I would like to do is have the board members fill them out, and then I want to tabulate the results for the July workshop. So we're hoping this will give us a few main areas that we want to work on in the coming year. Okay? The next order of business is approval of minutes. So the minutes for the May 16, 2018 meeting. I'm going to make a motion that we approve the May 16 minutes. Are there any comments? Yes, Joe.
I have several changes on page 3 and 4 of the minutes.
Okay.
Under the paragraph, constable position.
Constable.
The second line, midway through, says by an anonymous donor. It's by 3 anonymous donors. So add 3 and an S on donor on that page. And a similar change on the next page, the third line down, in the carryover paragraph, where it says Joe Shell reported that one of the 3 anonymous donors will not, it continues. And in the next paragraph, starting with Jennifer Scott.
Hold on,
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
The next paragraph, the second line, one of the donors again. Same issue on all 3. Just to set the record straight.
So that last one was in the second line, as required by one of the donors? Mm-hmm. Any other changes?
Andrea, are you getting
it? I've marked it for her. I can give her my copy. Any other comments or changes in particular, please note and see if it marks you present or absent correctly. Okay. There's a motion on the table to approve the minutes.
Second.
Joe second. With the changes, I'm going to amend my motion to make a motion we approve the May 16, 2018 minutes with the changes that were noted by Joe Schell.
Second.
Joe seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Director's reports.
Okay, this item is in 2 different places on the on this agenda. One of the things that occurred, there was a discussion by the board and by the executive board about the evaluation system for the executive director. And there was a meeting and conversations with DASL. DASL is the Delaware, it's out of the University of Delaware. Jackie Wilson is the director of that. That they could help, and they would help the school in formulating an evaluation document that was germane to the school and germane to the activities of the director in the school. The backbone of the evaluation is the performance, it's a charter school performance document. Remember, there are 3 areas, and Eric will know about these 3 areas. This is new, well, this particular information is new to him, but there are 3 areas under that document. There's the academic performance. You all remember what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You get that document sometime, usually in September. You get 3, there are 3 parts to it. There's academic performance, there's financial performance, and there's organizational performance. So what DASL is doing through Jackie Wilson's leadership is that they are formulating this document that will be sent to the executive
government committee.
The executive committee. They will review that document. and they will make determine if that is the document that should be used for the new executive director's evaluation. I think moving forward from that, probably procedurally what would happen is that they would sit down with the new executive director to review that, whether there's some collaboration on that document or on the goals within that document that would occur. Then DASL would come back through Jackie Wilson. There's a rubric involved, and Jackie would come back and train the board in the use of the evaluation system to help the board kind of walk through this on what this ought to, how they're going to go about evaluating the new executive director. It's a performance agreement.
If I can just add something. So when we set goals as a board for things we wanted to accomplish, and some of those things that we wanted to accomplish were not things that board members can do. They're things like increase IB participation. That's something that the school and the directors are going. So that would be tied into the evaluation for the director so that we would have things that we were measuring to see to toward reaching the goals that we as a board establish. Of course, we have some things we have to do ourselves too, but.
And then the director, they would help establish goals with the director. The director would say, well, I think this ought to be a goal, and there'd be conversation about whether it should be or shouldn't be. DASL was very willing to do this. It is through the University of Delaware. DASL, through Jackie Wilson, said, well, Trish, this is what the fee is going to be. And I said, well, Jackie, do you think you can do any better than that? And he did better than that.
Cut it in half, right?
So they cut it in half. So I actually executed a service agreement with DASL to get this task done. And it's reasonable.
So the end result is we're going to get sort of a skeleton of what they think from the outside we should be using as criteria for measuring our executive director. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to customize it as we see fit when it comes to the board.
Yes.
And then that becomes the document that is used to measure our executive director performance.
And there will be a rubric with it, okay? That makes it, within a rubric system, you identify when somebody meets or totally meets or meets or halfway meets or whatever. There's usually a kind of a sliding scale, and so it's helpful for the board if they have a rubric, because then you tend to operate off the same standard measurement. Okay, just like if you get a rubric home from your kid's teacher in writing or in mathematics or, mm-hmm. or whatever, you'll see these blocks and it says you do this, then there's a one, you do this, there's a two. So yes, Joe, that's the long answer for it.
You know what, I forgot the new words.
Can't remember, but I'll check on that. Can't remember. I thought I did.
Just something that I should have brought up under board memberships. It's my very strong opinion, everybody's tired of hearing me talking about it. It's my very strong opinion that in order to make us minimally competent to do our job as a board member, that these books help. So we have ordered some for the new board members, and we will get these to you. They're a quick read, but they do lay down the framework on what we're supposed to be doing. Sorry, that should have been up under board memberships. Did you have anything else under the service? Anything else on the service agreement?
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Okay, the next item is the LEA performance, IDEA, how we did. This is all about special education and students with disabilities, and you will see a letter in your packet dated May 24th, 2018, where the department comes in and they evaluate us based on certain kinds of indicators. On this May 24, 2018, you will see the indicators upon which we were evaluated. And ultimately, on the back of this letter, you will see that we have met the requirements to implement IDEA. We also get money under IDEA, which is special education money. And so we have to comply and certainly conform to the rules and regulations of federal law relative to special education. Playing too much soccer.
What happened?
I had to come up with a good excuse for being late.
Found that out front.
He doesn't even need it.
I had these in the garage.
He just walked in with it.
I see some in the garage.
I'm Steve Burke. I'm the treasurer. I'm late at Prospect.
So you have a copy of the letter. There's a very, very, very lengthy document that had accompanied this. Our teachers, our special ed department will be, or have reviewed this, as the administration. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. Last item C, end of year activities. Most of you here were involved in some type of end of the year activities. Just a very quick review. At the high school level, we think the prom was very, very successful. The kids were gorgeous.
They were gorgeous.
They were well behaved. You would have been proud of them. We did a little etiquette. We did a little dance.
We did a little receiving line.
We did a little receiving line. They were very poised. And I got to tell you, I mean, it just makes your heart burst. When you see these kids come in, you know, they're hopping around in their blue jeans or their uniforms, and they're all dressed up. They're beautiful. They're gracious. Suddenly they've gone from a kid to an adult, but they're very gracious, and they had a great time, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful.
They were beautiful.
So said the prom, that was a big time in their life, and a big time in our lives. The other activity was the for seniors was the award ice cream. Kind of award night that went very well. We had a number of scholarships that were given. Some outsiders here to give scholarships. Of course, the board scholarship was given. The foundation scholarship was given. Again, that was we think that it was very, very well received by parents. The other thing that I believe is important about that event was, while that's a night to give awards, the teachers had awards from content, and we are, and all of us, regardless of who gave the award, are very conscious of that there are many talents within a class, and there are many stars within those classes. And so seeing many children get awards is, I think, important to us. The other element is we recognized every senior who came, and they got, even if it was only 20 minutes in the spotlight, or 20, not minute, 20 seconds in the spotlight, they got that 20 seconds in the spotlight, and it was a good time, and I think very well received by the students and their parents. Graduation, I thought, went very, very well. I couldn't have been prouder of Jamie Riddle.
Oh, yeah.
And his CSET.
He was fabulous.
He was wonderful. I thought that Lisa Blount Rochester's address was a blow him out of the water address.
It was, yeah.
I was delighted that we were able to have her. Any feedback I got has been very, 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 very positive. Then moving into eighth grade, because eighth grade still had to stay.
Just one thing, Trish. Yes. I thought the way you and Alan introduced the children as they came up in graduation, where you said obviously the name, I think this was not at awards night, but at the commencement, and where they were going to school and what their career aspirations were,
mm-hmm.
was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And that you don't see that at very many graduations. when we have 125 graduates, we may not see it either, but with our 58 graduates, it gave you enough context of who those people were and where what their aspirations were that you really felt like you got to know them a little bit in that 20 seconds.
And that's part
thank you
of
that. For that.
Thank you, Joe. And that's part, that, of course, is part of spotlighting them. That was a way for us to spotlight that everybody has a membership in this class and everybody is important in this class. So anyway, we thank you, Joe, for saying that.
And for the new board members, I really encourage you to attend those events next year because it's just so nice to see the fruits of the labor. And it just is, you know, it's a reminder of why we're here and what it's all about.
Then the eighth grade still, of course, had to be here. And well, in the middle school, they had other activities. They had, they went to Rehoboth. They had a great activity. We had the color run. I didn't know if that was going to be a disaster. the reason being, we had blue stuff all over everybody's face. We had yellow stuff in their hair.
Pictures were great.
And our PTO president, okay, she was probably the worst of all, because she's probably the biggest kid of us all.
Yeah, exactly.
And she came in, and I said, please do not sit on the furniture. But anyway, the kids had a great time. I can't remember how much was raised in that color run, but that took place of the Walk for Education. Mm-hmm. I think they're planning something different next year.
Yes.
But the kids had a great time. It was a gorgeous day. Kids were outside. They got hamburgers. They got ice cream. They played, and they had a great time. And there were parents here, and the parents helped out and helped Gina. And again, most of these events, Gina's the background. Gina never asked for anything, and Gina is right there. And it was great. Then we had the luncheon for the eighth graders. Again, they had had etiquette lessons. They had dancing lessons. They went and they had luncheon. And whether Janet has an idea for next year, which I think she's going to investigate. I think it's a fabulous idea relative to that. And then they had moving up. As I looked up in the stands and moving up, the gymnasium bleachers were practically filled. Mm-hmm. That meant there were a lot of people there. Again, the ceremony was very nice and just very proud and very grateful to be a part of.
And our cafeteria was almost full at graduation,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what are we going to do next year?
Ooh. Well,
30-something kids.
Everybody gets problem. Jeez, what
they gonna do next year? It's only 16 more students.
So, is that right?
It's 16. 74 right now.
Juniors?
We have 74 seniors right now.
Seniors.
Next year.
Hey, Shanta.
We can probably still put them all on the stage
here. So
that stage is huge.
So
we're gonna build quite a few.
I know.
Here's a scene. Okay, so next item, so that is really a culmination of our children's activities. Of course, this week has been in service for our faculty, and they've been engaged in what faculties do in terms of professional development, in terms of kind of ending this year, looking forward to next year, and kind of even pre-setting some of the things that are, going to happen with that. So, Alan, do you want to talk next about enrollment?
Sure. We currently have 791 students enrolled for next year.
Well, I'm sorry. Say that again.
791. We can go as high as 808 without. Because you can go up to 5% above your approved enrollment, and our approved enrollment is 770.
Okay.
I can give you a breakdown by grade level if you want.
Please, please.
All right. Grade 6, 117. 117. Grade 7, 123. Grade 8, 129. Grade 9, 122. Grade 10, 124. grade 11, 102. Grade 12, 74.
How many juniors did we have at the end of this year, school year? In other words, are we leaving, is 74 the same number that we're here for the junior year at the end, or is this a lower number people leave for the senior year?
We probably had some folks leave. Yeah, from September.
How many?
We might have a couple. I don't know.
From 8th grade to 9th grade, how many of the 122 that you have enrolled right now in 9th grade came from our 8th grade?
80. Am I right?
Yeah, just a little 80. Bit more.
So we took 42 from the
so far.
Lottery?
Yeah.
So how many more do we have on the wait list for math? Do we know about? I mean, is it 100? Is it 10?
None right now.
We took them all.
Really? For 9th grade?
Yep. Still amazes me we have. Pardon? It amazes me that we still have 1/3 of the class saying adios after 8th grade.
I hear what you're saying. I'm delighted with the 80. I mean, real honestly, if it got to be 100, it would be delighted. But one of the things I think that happens with high school kids, they may be looking at different career pathways, truly. Certainly, tech has an allure for their career pathways. And some kids, they leave either for pathways, they leave for athletics, they leave because their cousin, because their sister went back.
In that class, the older siblings, there are a lot of siblings or parents who work elsewhere.
I think it'll increase, but I don't know that I think it will be 100%. I don't know that I personally believe it'll ever be 100%. I think it'll increase.
Okay. Well, I got the list yesterday from Steve Brasilio, and only 24 went to Sussex Tech.
And most of them have siblings or had siblings that went through there.
Yes, it's a large class of siblings.
How long is the waiting list for 6th grade?
Oh my goodness.
Oh. 257 was the number, so we took. I know the numbers.
I don't. My feeling is it's fine to have some attrition out of 8th grade, but I hope that keeps getting smaller and smaller for the reasons that you gave. You know, the kids want to go to play first-class athletics. Well, hopefully we'll have a first-class athletic program in due course, so that won't be a reason for leaving. Academic rigor is always going to be a reason for leaving. Our kids don't want to work as hard as they had to in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. But my hope is that it normalizes, that we can expect to lose 20% of our class, or give or take a percentage or two. That would be great. I just don't like losing 1/3 of our kids.
I understand.
I hear you, but I also think it's nice to have an opportunity to have entry into the school another way. Because if we had too many kids staying, that if you don't get in 6th grade, you're not getting in. So I like that we've had the opportunity to bring kids in the 9th grade the last couple years. I think it's presents challenges, but I also think it presents opportunity to mix things up a bit.
And the people who really want to be there that didn't get here in 6th have a second shot. Mm-hmm.
You know, this was at a different grade level, but under different circumstances, we might not have been able to do it. We had, and I'll just point to this, that adds to the school life. We had two students who came here who were refugees from Puerto Rico. This was a great fit for those two young women. And they added to the cultural fabric of this school.
Fantastic. One of them walked in 11th grade and stepped right into the IB program and is a rock star, from what my daughter says.
She is. So, but again, that's different. It may not be the norm. Mm-hmm. It may not be the routine.
So, we graduated our first seniors, not this May, but the May before, and how big was that class?
38.
So we have been a couple years doubled how many kids stay, pretty much.
I mention too along those lines that I've been talking to a lot of the graduates as they come back, and the school's mission to not only send them to college, but to make sure they're prepared when they get there, it gives me tingles when I talk to them, because that's exactly what's happening. They're just nailing it. Mm-hmm. And kids who 4 years earlier never would have thought they'd be so successful are navigating the college scene like it's nothing. So I'm only talking from maybe 10, 12 kids that I've talked to out of that class, and not all of them went to top tier universities. You know, there's a wide variety there. But whether they're at Del Tech or whether they're, you know, at other colleges, it makes me really proud of where this school helped them to grow to.
Yeah, and the percentage of youngsters that were able to help get there. Mm-hmm. And not only help get there, but they're prepared to be where they're going. And that's what we said we wanted to do. So MYP application for candidacy. We just a little report back on this. We did submit our application for MYP candidacy. MYP.
Trish, tell everybody what it is.
Right.
Including me.
Yeah. So MYP.
Yeah.
In the high school, we have the IB World Diploma Program, and MYP stands for Middle Years Program, and that is the program that you can institute in a school, either for grades 6 through 10, or you can do 9 and 10. We have elected to do this program for 9 and 10 right now. So what happens, we submit an application, we go through a process, we have to send people for training. We have a group of 5 or 6 teachers that are going for training this summer. They're going to come back on July 23rd and 24th. They're going to meet, they're going to talk about, they're going to plan forward what they're going to be doing in terms of MYP for getting ready for the MYP program, getting ready for the curricular part of the MYP program. Colin Marine, who was a new teacher last year, Colin is our MYP coordinator. So he is doing something similar but not the same as Debbie and Jen Leonard were doing for the DP program. DP is the 11 and 12 program. So we have been accepted for candidacy, so we have to move forward and go through the tiers to be selected as an MYP school. There's, from my point of view, and I think from our point of view, there's no reason why we can't meet the requirements of this and this school become an MYP school for grades 9 and 10. What happens after that? We'll see where it takes us. Do we move it down into the middle school or don't we move it down into the middle school? So we're kind of taking it one step at a time. Certainly the high school teachers, I think they bought in, as it were. And that's what's important, that they're buying in, because if they buy in, they'll make it happen. So we're very excited about that. Eric also is going to go for training, probably IB training, sometime this winter. Yeah, sometime in the fall, rather.
Can I ask a few questions about IB?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'll be able to answer them. Go ahead.
So
Debbie will.
It is correct. Is it correct that the idea behind MYP is that it makes the transition to the higher level program, the diploma program, an easier and more meaningful transition, correct?
I think it will, in the sense of that the IB learner skills that you need will be, correct me if I'm wrong, but they will be more directly taught. And the content itself is not IB content, it's just IB layered on top of curriculum that we already do, and then that curriculum is purposefully kind of woven together with each other, and there are specific outcomes that have to be addressed in MYP.
I think the unit structure, the way that the instructional delivery and way that units are structured is very consistent with IB. It may not be the exact content, but it will certainly prepare them.
Do you know off the top of your head how many new diploma, how many kids are doing the diploma next year?
You mean as seniors?
No, juniors.
Juniors, I think the number is 20 or 21.
And how does that compare to last year?
Last year was 17.
Okay, so we have more.
16.
In the upcoming year.
It was 13, 17, 16, and then it's 20 or 21.
Okay, good. I was worried because I was hearing a lot of chatter from the kids that fewer kids were signing on to do the whole diploma program, and I was concerned because one of our goals, as we discussed at our workshop over the summer, was to increase participation in the IB program. So, okay, good. And do you think through MYP that that'll help us get more DP kids each year?
I think there'll be more confidence building in the students themselves, that they're ready to tackle that level mm-hmm. of rigor. Because mm-hmm. right now a lot of students are not really sure, where mm-hmm. do I fit?
Yeah.
But I think being exposed to that and knowing they can perform at the MYP level will give them that push.
Good.
To do that.
I'd like to speak, and I can't tell you that when I started down this road, I was knowledgeable enough, wise enough, whatever one would say. My aim has been to have more DP candidates, more kids getting the IB diploma. But when we talk about participation, one of the things that I think is happening, and either affirm this or deny it, Debbie, is while we may not have 50% or more kids doing the diploma program, I think we're having more kids take IB courses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're having more kids that want to take, if they may not be taking 6 IB courses,
mm-hmm.
but they may be taking 1 IB course
mm-hmm.
or 2 IB courses or 3 IB courses
mm-hmm.
or 4 IB courses, but may not be doing the full diploma program.
Good.
And so that's, to me, that's a step where they're being challenged beyond the ordinary,
mm-hmm.
beyond the regular honors curriculum. So
good.
What I would say is maybe in kind of thinking forward, we think about how many are diploma candidates and going to get the diploma, but how many are also
mm-hmm.
other are taking IB courses.
And letter of the law, the goal that we set as a board was to increase our participation in IB,
mm-hmm.
not diploma. So you're right.
But I had,
oh,
I'm telling
okay.
that's a little bit.
No, I like it.
It's new
yeah.
thinking over time for me.
Yeah.
Well, and every junior does that theory of knowledge class,
mm-hmm.
which follows the IB curriculum.
Yep.
And this, it'll be a little differently structured next year, but the IB diploma and non-diploma students were co-sat in that class, so they're
mm-hmm.
all getting the same instruction.
And we have more students.
Yeah,
it's more.
That's great. That's good.
Dessa visit report. Janet, I'm catching you off guard, honey, but this was what, you took the reins on this, and I was wondering if you would please talk to the board a little bit about the site visit that we had.
Sure.
And what the Department of Ed had to say about us.
We were slated for a site visit sometime during our SBAC testing window, which took place from the first week of May to the end of May.
You might want to explain DESA.
What the heck is DESA?
DESA is the state, the Delaware State
Student Success.
Student. I don't even know.
Delaware
Student Success Assessment, something. It's the assessment group
oh.
at the state level.
So they're assessing our ability to assess?
Yes. Not, it's not really
compliance.
Our ability to assess.
Our
it's
compliance.
Our fidelity to the rules and the regulations that they have put forward and to make sure that we basically are not breaking any rules and regulations to get the wonderful test scores that we get.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So they are coming in and looking at test security. They're coming in to look at accommodations are given to students with IEPs and 504s.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in to see that the staff has been trained, you know, properly, all those things. So they basically come in and they have an interview with staff, teachers, all the stakeholders. They have
students.
Students.
Yeah.
There was focus groups that they met with during the day. They visited testing rooms. They talked to students about whether they were prepared for the assessment. They talked to teachers about whether they were prepared in administering the assessment. And then at the end, they always give a summary, and then they give a list of commendations and recommendations for each of the areas that they were looking at. So they came in and looked at training and administration of the test, whether accommodations were given to students with special needs, and whether the test was secure and the environment was secure. So we got a glowing report. And a couple things really struck me in my conversation with them after their visit was the one thing they were so surprised about was the fact that we don't have issues with cell phones. Because they said that most of their security violations were with student cell phones. That in most of their site visits, student cell phones were on their desk or they were going off in their pockets. And it was funny because he asked, well, how do you avoid that? Don't allow cell phones. it's pretty easy. So that was kind of surprising. They thought that was so easy for us to solve. The other thing they were really, really impressed with from the student focus group, because our students are rock stars. When you put them in that environment with adults, they turn it on. They're magnificent, mm-hmm. even middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. And they said that the students all reported that their test was not any more difficult than their regular classwork. That they felt very well prepared because they had been doing those types of activities all year long. So we got a really, really good report. They gave us a few recommendations, you know, using colored paper for scratch paper. So you know that it needs to be shredded. Using their resources more, you know, because they have paid for them.
Yeah.
Getting ready for uh-huh. the test. Mm-hmm. So those are really the only recommendations that we got as a result of their visit. And they won't be back for another 3 years.
Nice. Congratulations.
Good job. Janet has... this year led the entire effort relative to testing.
Well, just at the middle school, Debbie's really done the high school, and that's been just as cumbersome.
But it is truly a big job, and she's done a terrific job of it. As far as Debbie goes, Debbie has done testing for the kids with the PSAT, and I was going to put a slash here. I asked Debbie if she could talk a little bit about our PSAT and our SAT results. Debbie, can I turn that over to you?
Yeah, before I do that, though, just real quick, piggybacking on that, IB has the ability to pop in at any time mm-hmm. during the exam window and inspect us, mm-hmm. and indeed they did this year.
Oh, really?
And we were completely not expecting it, but we completely nailed it, so we were really pleased about that, too. Uh-huh. They had no suggestions okay. for us. There was one slight... student didn't follow the rules exactly, but it's something that IB doesn't even like require that you report. He accidentally started writing during a reading period, but he didn't even get the whole sentence written because I was on it, and then it was fine. So that was reassuring too, and hopefully they won't stress us out and do that again.
Debbie, before you go on, Janet, do you get the sense that the DESSA is looking to see if the classroom is being taught for the test? In other words, you're not doing the subject, you're sort of remembering the teacher knows what last year's test was
yeah.
and they teach to the test questions.
I don't think they really address that at all in their visit. I think they are really, really just concerned with security measures and making sure that all the rules are being followed, but they don't really get into that portion of it at all.
So I'm sending around some copies of this year's testing results for the high school. All of our 11th graders are required to take the SAT on the school day in April, as well as the PSAT 10 is required for all 10th graders. Optionally, 9th graders may also choose to sign up for it, so you'll see the participation rates for the SAT and PSAT 10 are 100% because they're required, but the PSAT 8-9 is a little lower because they do have to sign up and pay for that. But, I mean, overall, you can see us versus the state versus nationwide, and I think it would probably mirror what's happening in the middle school on those tests as well. We did have additionally In October, we had the PSAT NMSQT. NMSQT stands for National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test, and indeed, this year